Devour the Podcast is for mature audiences only.
To episode 34 of Devour the Podcast. I'm your host, David. Along with me is Jamie.
Hi, everyone.
And joining us as always is Bo.
Hey, everybody.
And we've got a pretty good show this week. We've got our instant queue review of Lovely Molly, which I know is going to be an interesting discussion. It's because I've been pretty vocal about that one on recently. And part four of our Final Destination retrospective with The Final Destination. And so, what did everybody watch this week besides the movies for the show?
I watched Doctor Who, which we discussed off the air, final episode of the mid-season. Avengers, which we also discussed off the air. Those should have been recorded. Fascinating conversations, everyone. Yes. Also watched Sons of Anarchy. Again, if you're not watching that show, please do. And Remains, Steve Niles's Remains.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that on Instant Watch?
It is.
Okay. I haven't... I think I saw it on there, and I just didn't...
I saw
continue to not do that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. I was so sad. I was so sad that
there. Yeah, there are two good gags in it, and it's not worth the runtime to get to them.
Yeah, I understand that.
It made my heart hurt.
It did. Yeah, it was.
Steve is awesome. Steve is so cool, and I was looking forward to that, and then I was like, oh, sad.
Yeah. And then later this evening, so when you listen to this podcast, I will have seen the season premiere of Supernatural, which I've been on board with ever since like the first season. So I've seen, for better or worse, every episode of Supernatural, and I can't quit now. So, even though last season kind of beat me up a little bit, I was really not crazy about it, but we'll see what happens. But I will have seen that. Okay. I'm living in the future perfect to your past, listeners.
So, Jimmy, what did you watch this week?
Let's see. We're 4 days currently into my 31 days of Halloween. And if people who have listened to us before, like, or used to listen to me in the past, like, you're, and Bo, you're familiar with my 31 days of Halloween. I do it every year.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Shut the hell up. Anyway, basically what I do is I have movies that I watch every Halloween. You know, and those are a given. It's Halloween 1 through 3 and Trick or Treat. Those will be watched. But apart from that, every other movie, and I watch a movie every night, is typically themed. You know, like I'll pick a theme, like a zombie theme or whatever. Well, this year I decided to go with obsession. And it can be obsession about anything. I have some really interesting choices lined up for this month. I'm really excited about it. But so far into that, I have watched The Sitter and The Caller. And American Psycho. The Sitter is very run-of-the-mill. It's a Lifetime movie. I mean, it really is a Lifetime movie. And it's, you know, your basic Hand That Rocks Cradle ripoff. The Caller, excellent. Oh my God, do I love this movie. It came out in 2011. I have no idea why I've never heard of it. How it slipped under my radar, I don't know. But have you guys seen that?
It's been sitting on my Insta queue. I haven't watched it yet.
All right. Bo?
Same here. I've heard good things, okay. So...
It is so good. I mean, well, okay, I don't want to make it sound like fucking Lord of the Rings or anything, but I mean, it's really good. I was surprised, pleasantly surprised. And then, of course, American Psycho, which, you know.
It's a wonderfully hilarious movie.
It's so yummy. and apart from that, that's pretty much it, I think, so far. Well, that's pretty much every night this week. So, so there you go.
All right. Yes, and we are. This is our first episode of October, and you wouldn't have known it for the last three fucking days because it's been like 80 to 90 degrees here. First day of October, it was fucking 90 degrees. Bullshit. it's cooled down now, which is nice. But yeah,
it's like chilly here. I've been thankful for that.
Oh no, it was nice this weekend, and then Monday, the first day of October, it's fucking 90 degrees outside, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? This is not cool.
That ain't right.
No. For 3 days, I got fucking summer weather for October. That pissed me off.
Aww.
But I watched The Avengers, which we did talk about off the air, which I really should have recorded. Doctor Who, of course.
And you wouldn't shut up about how much you love The Avengers. I mean, I don't know if you know this guy. Can't get enough.
I enjoyed it. I wasn't overwhelmed like everybody else seemed to have been.
Yeah, I think Bo peed his pants a little.
Probably.
I know why.
Every time I watch it, I do. So it's why I have to wear the plastic pants when I put on the
See, I thought that was just because of my fetish.
No, I got
ever
four
since
or five.
We watched the baby. I've got this thing. I just
so weird.
Oh God, I watched Donnie Darko again, which I hadn't watched in it's been a while.
Years.
It's been a long time since I've seen it.
No, yeah, and it was weird because it was one of those movies I owned on DVD, and then the special edition came out, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna buy the special edition. So I got rid of my original DVD copy, and then for like 3 years I didn't have it, and kept going, oh, I want to watch Donnie Darko. Fuck, I don't have it yet. Eventually got the special edition, but it's on Instant Queue now. So I watched it on Netflix.
Oh, now, good. I really need to watch it again, because I didn't
know. Have you seen the director's cut?
Yes. I have. I've seen both.
I think the director's cut kind of sucks.
I haven't seen it recently enough to be able to say one way or the other. And the version on Netflix is the original version. So, like I said, I haven't compared them in a while. But, yeah.
There was just enough explanation in the director's cut that kind of yanked all the mystery out of it for me.
I get that.
And so, yeah, I really do prefer the original to it. And I haven't watched the original since I watched the director's cut. I really should go back and just enjoy that film for what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't watched it in a long time and really, really enjoyed it. And I was like, what? I don't understand how people don't understand this movie. It's fairly straightforward.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, I watched a lot of Doctor Who, so the time travel stuff isn't that confusing.
Right, and but at the same time, there's the, you know, that kind of spiritual element to it that's kind of fun in that film, and I really like Donnie Darko, right? And oh my goodness, have you guys talked about S. Darko?
No, we.
Oh, it's so bad.
That's all I've heard about it. Yeah,
so bad.
I watched a couple documentaries. One was 6 Degrees of Helter Skelter about obviously Charles Manson and the Manson murders. That was actually pretty interesting. I thought it was gonna suck at first, and then it actually was really interesting.
Well,
this guy
good.
Basically went around to all these different locations that were kind of involved in the Manson story. So that was kind of interesting. It kind of talked about each of the people who was murdered, everyone who was killed in the Sharon Tate scene, and then the LaBiancas and all that. And so that was kind of interesting. And they went out to the ranch that they had holed up in the desert after they ran out to the desert, which was the last time that it was the last time it's on film before it was burned down. So that was kind of interesting. I rewatched Cocaine Cowboys 1 and 2, which are both really good.
Those are good.
Yeah. Cocaine Cowboys is about the Miami coke days of the 80s, and then the second one is about a guy who falls in with the godmother of Columbia, which was bizarre. I watched another documentary by the same director. I don't remember what it was called, but it was about marijuana in Miami around that time, and it wasn't as interesting. And then I've been catching up with Walking Dead because season 2 is now available on Instant Watch, and I've watched the first 2 episodes, I think, of season 2. And that's about as far as I've gotten because I was too busy watching the movies for this week.
I gotta tell you, man, and you've probably heard this already, but the first 6 episodes, there's a lot of kind of treading water to get to the rest of it. And it's worth it. It's worth it. And the last episode of season 2 is probably the best episode of the show.
Oh my God, okay. It's psycho.
Yeah, because I remember when it came back and I was watching it weekly, and I watched like the first 3 episodes, I think, when it was back. And then it kept like being delayed and something else. I kept forgetting it was on. And so then I finally gave up and was like, I'll wait for Netflix. And then it was taking forever to get to Netflix. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing, Netflix? You're killing me here.
Yeah. But I think that, do you read the comics? Are you?
I started to read the comic, like the first trade, and it bored me to tears.
Oh, you're so wrong. But I respect your ability to be incorrect about a comic. I'm a big fan. I've just read the 100th issue not too long ago, which I'm back a couple maybe at this point. But anyway, if you've read through the comics, there's a certain character that enters the story, and we get the first intimations of that character at the end of this season. And for any Walking Dead comic fan, it was like when we were talking about Avengers, it's like getting the Hulk right of just like, right. Oh my God, this character is amazing. And it's about to totally spin the series. And can't wait. The trailer blows my mind too. The season 3 trailer looks so good.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I want to get through season
two.
And then I will try and stay up with season 3, but
yeah,
we'll see how that goes. So I think that is, before we get into the news, Badass Movies and Body Counts episode 6 recently came out with where I reviewed Inferno and Cat of Nine Tails with Mike. It was a fun episode. Turned out pretty well. One of the rare times I've actually listened to a show that I was on all the way through. There was something else I was going to plug, and I don't remember what it was now. Oh, I wanted to welcome Mike and Gil and Roscoe to Horrorphilia, as they are the two of the newer shows on the network.
Have we not done that yet?
No, we hadn't done that yet.
Oh my goodness. Well, welcome, guys, to all of you. I just got the pleasure of recording with Mike again. That was fun. And I love those Bodacious boys. They're awesome. So, yay, welcome.
And I thank them profusely for their they heard the last episode, and they were happy that I agreed with their thank me for the mention on last week's episode about their high tension, their French extreme horror episode rather. And SlasherCast deserves a shout out because Mike watched Massmaker and then talked about how terrible it was.
We were tweeting about it while he was watching it, and I'm just like, ah.
Oh, okay. And then he proceeded to tell the story about how he got kicked off the other network for that movie, and they all had a good laugh at that, and so that was pretty awesome. So they shit on the other network, and I laughed. So anytime somebody shits on the other network, that's always...
I just laugh and laugh.
Yeah, because fuck them. Seriously, that movie sucked.
That movie was ass.
Oh, it's fucking terrible. Oh, but there is a new Michael Berryman movie available on Instant
awesome.
Watch.
That love him. I even told him that Maskmaker was ass. I did. I was like, I know. You're the only good thing about it. And he hasn't watched it.
Which is probably a good thing. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the movie is that he's in, but I saw he's on the cover and it's got maybe a 3-star rating. So I was like, all right, maybe it'll be good.
Love me some Michael Berryman.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
What a great guy.
Exactly. So I think that is it for me as far as pre-show stuff. Anything you guys wanted to mention?
Actually, two quick shout-outs. One to Scott Feinblatt, who recently got in touch with me. Jamie and I interviewed him a while ago about the film Outtake Reel, which we both enjoyed. It's a very low-budget film, but does some interesting stuff. And And he's got a short film out that's hitting the festival circuit. And is also taking over as editor-in-chief of Diabolique magazine, which is a horror mag that you can get digitally or, hard copies.
They did some sponsoring for Viscera last year.
Yep. So if you go to the last blog on the left blog, then there are links to both the Facebook page for the short film and a link to DiaboliqueMagazine.com, where Scott will be working. So good for him. Good guy. Loves the genre. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Yeah, that's great. And since I mentioned Viscera, I would love to tell everyone that submission phase for 2013 has officially opened as of October 1. So you have from now until the end of February to get your movies in for the 2013 Viscera Film Festival. So get working on them if you're not already done with them. And if you're done with them, send them in because it's free. Go to the website, visceraFilmFestival.com.
If you're a lady.
Awesome. Yeah, but say if you're a lady.
Well, you know, not exclusively. I mean, if you, you know, maybe you're a guy, but you work with a lady. I mean, all we require is that a woman hold at least a producer or director position, one or the other. I mean, it doesn't have to be both. So.
But if it is, it's even better.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's also, we do have an award for an all-female, like an entirely, a crew made up entirely of women. We've never given that award away. We've never had one.
Well, there you go.
You know what? Make that your goal. Give us a movie that is all women and give us a reason to give that award out.
Yeah. Okay. So,
my other shout out. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, sweetie. I did not mean to interrupt you.
No. This will be very quick. Stupid Hamster on Twitter just wanted to say thank you for encouraging my completely ridiculous idea to attempt to learn Japanese. And she sent me a lot of helpful links. And so, yeah, thank you. And I will probably be bothering you with vocabulary.
We actually have a voicemail from her for later this episode.
Yay.
Oh, right on.
A sweetie. Love her. Love her so much.
So we will be right back with the news then.
Our show is now on Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Be quiet a second, will you?
It's 8 o'clock in Los Angeles. It's 9 o'clock in Denver. It's 10 o'clock in Chicago.
In Baltimore, it's 6:42. Time for the 11 o'clock report.
Here's Johnny!
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Game over, man! Game over!
Your mother sucks cocks in hell.
All right, guys, it's time again. Time for the news. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. I've got some... Well, this is actually pretty interesting if I watch the show, which I don't. But Rutger Hauer is going to be joining the sixth season of True Blood. I know, Bo, you're a fan, or at least you were. You still are?
Yeah, the last season was kind of rocky, but I've still seen all of True Blood, so I think this is fun. I like Rutger Hauer.
Oh, yeah, I do too. Okay, so well, TV Line reports that Rutger Hauer will have a regular role on the HBO series sixth season. Wow. According to the site, he'll play a character named Macklin, who has close ties to Sookie and Jason. After last season's revelations... Well, you might wonder who he could be. Hauer has had his fair share of vampire experience, playing Lothos in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Barlow in Salem's Lot, Dracula in Dracula 3 Legacy, and Van Helsing in Dario Argento's forthcoming Dracula 3D. The sixth season of True Blood will hit your TV this June.
I didn't realize that they were already up to six years of this shit.
I was actually thinking it was more.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I watched the first season, and it was good.
I have just one episode.
The first season was good. I was really resistant to it. And I was like, fuck this. It's vampires and I hate vampires now, bruh. And my friend's like, dude, just sit down and watch. I was like, no, fuck you. And we watched an episode. I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. And then I never watched any of the other seasons because I just didn't care enough. And it's not available on Instant Watch. So
it's either season two or three that Dennis, I think it's three, that Dennis O'Hare plays kind of the big bad of the season. Hmm. And if you watched American Horror Story, he was the heavily scarred gentleman in that. And he's a great character actor. And the scenery he chews up in that season, but it like you're with him the entire way. That was like the Sergeant Pepper season of that show. And it was fantastic. And after that, it's been kind of downhill ever since. But that entire season is mind-blowingly good. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not that I was even resistant to it. I just don't have HBO.
Yeah, that's my thing.
And there was a time when I did, and then I was just like, eh, like I just didn't care,
yeah. You
know. But good for them for going as long. See, I'm a Dexter person, and we're in season 7 right now, and that's really exciting. okay. Trailer debut for Sci-Fi's American Horror House. You know, if Sci-Fi's in front of it, then... Well, then you know that. On October 13th, Sci-Fi will debut the original film, American Horror House, from director Darren Scott. Scott previously penned Tales from the Hood and directed Dark House and a number of Femme Fatales episodes for Cinemax. For his latest offering, he pulls together a cast that includes Morgan Fairchild. Whoa, where has she been? I had to pull her out and dust her off. And
you mean my wife, Morgan Fairchild.
Yes. That's the ticket.
Enjoy your 30-year-old reference, everyone.
That's the ticket. And Alexandra Torresani. The film is set against the backdrop of Halloween night, naturally. I'm not really sure why that's natural, but okay. And a sorority house is overrun with ghosts. Meanwhile, a vengeful house mother goes on a killing spree. Wow, that's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So you've got a sorority house, which is just a lot right there, and then it's overrun with ghosts, and then there's a vengeful mother on a killing spree. That sounds like a mess.
And as the B plot, someone learns to love.
Yeah.
And I'll bet that you'll lose that bet, but in losing that bet, you actually win.
Yeah, I know, right?
Right. Either way, I'm a winner.
Okay. Rec 4. Apocalypse teaser trailer is coming. Sitges, the International Fantastic Film Festival of Catalonia, will host the exclusive premiere of the teaser of Rec 4 Apocalypse, the fourth and final installment of the series, which will be directed by Wame Balaguero.
Yeah. From the first Rec 4.
Yeah.
First two, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. First three. He was involved with three.
No, he wasn't. He was doing
no, the all. Other his other partner did that one.
Oh, that's right. Okay. For those attending, the teaser can be seen Friday, October 5th at 1 a.m. in the auditorium of the Hotel Melee. Well, you know what? Damn, they're going to miss it. Once you're listening to this, it's already happened, yep. So don't try. The sequel is expected to begin shooting early next year. So hopefully we'll see the teaser for that hit the web shortly after its debut at the fest. I'd be excited. I've really enjoyed this series.
Yeah, I really liked the first two. I liked three. We talked about it on Evil Episodes. And I think I've still got that audio somewhere that I need to use for a bonus episode. I'm going to sound like an idiot for a second. Where the fuck is Catalonia?
It's got to be Spain, right?
Is it?
Yeah, it got to be.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. It's something I don't, not something I recognize.
While I'm double checking, it is, sure enough, it is in Spain.
Oh, all right.
But just to get our facts straight, Paco Plaza,
yes,
was the guy who co-directed Rec 1 and 2 and did 3. And
now Wame is doing 4.
Yes.
Okay.
How do you, Juan? Oh, I
think it's
be like
Balaguero.
Like Wame. Yeah. Wame.
Well, like I said, I enjoyed the third one for what it was, and I defended it saying I would be happy to see where it fit within the greater picture of the series once the last films came out. So seeing as this fourth one is going to be the last one, hopefully it'll work out, not just be like that one movie that everybody seems to hate.
Right.
So.
There's always that one.
Yeah.
Okay, I was excited about this. Rob Zombie's The Lords of Salem teaser is here.
Yes, indeed.
And for people who haven't seen it, you need to go see it. Like, because pull that shit up. I watched it like as soon as I could get my fingers on it.
It will be in the show notes on the blog.
Oh, good. Okay. Now, the teaser trailer for Rob Zombie's Lords of Salem has made its premiere. This is your first look at the film. Unless you count the rogue video,
right,
that was taken from the concert. But this is your first look at the film, which premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival and was acquired by Anchor Bay. In the film, Heidi, a blonde rock chick, DJs at a local radio station, and together with the two Hermans, Whitey and Munster, forms part of the Big H radio team. A mysterious wooden box containing a vinyl record arrives for Heidi, a gift of the Lords. She assumes it's a rock band on a mission to spread their word. As Heidi and Whitey, that's fun to say, as Heidi and Whitey play the Lord's record, it starts to play backwards. And Heidi experiences a flashback to a past trauma. Later, Whitey plays the Lord's record, dubbing them the Lords of Salem. And to his surprise, the record plays normally and is a massive hit with his listeners. The arrival of another wooden box from the Lords presents the Big H team with free tickets, posters, and records to host a gig in Salem. Soon, Heidi and her cohorts are far from the rock spectacle they're expecting. The original Lords of Salem are returning, and they're out for blood. So I assume you guys have seen this teaser.
Holy shit, it looks awesome.
Yeah, I know, it's great. What'd you say, Bo? You mentioned Argento, and I said exactly the same thing when I watched it.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest Rob Zombie fan. I certainly have my problems with the Halloween films, but he's a very interesting director. The guy knows the genre. I'll always give him the benefit of the doubt. So yeah, no, I'm very, very excited to see it. I think it looks really bizarre, and the things that I've heard coming out of festivals is like the last half of this movie is just an acid trip. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, great. That will take me back to college.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. So, yay. Okay. Next up, and this has been all the buzz on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about this, but people have been talking about it and then being all excited, and it's fun. But the Universal Classic Monsters are coming out on Blu-ray. So at long last, Universal is bringing its plethora of classic monsters to Blu-ray in a pretty cool presentation. Hitting shelves. Is it, what's the official date on that?
I think this was the 1st or 2nd of October this came out.
Okay. Universal Classic Monsters, the Essential Collection, brings together Dracula, Frankenstein, the Mummy, the Invisible Man, Bride of Frankenstein, the Wolfman, Phantom of the Opera, and Creature from the Black Lagoon, the latter also being included in 3D, which of course it was originally released in when it came out. And I had the pleasure of seeing it in 3D at the Fox Theater in Atlanta many years ago. That was fun. And to celebrate the release of this box set, the studio has unveiled a trailer and a Dracula restoration video. That is exciting.
Yeah.
And what's the MSRP on this?
I did not list it.
He did not list it.
It wasn't in the news things. I have no idea.
But Bo, I
might have to look that up.
You might not. I wouldn't worry about it.
Oh, what?
See, the thing that I'm kind of worried about, because this was the story we covered way back in the early days of the show, was the fire at the Universal Vault, where they lost a bunch of the original negatives of a bunch of these films. And then that was kind of like the big worry that you weren't going to get like proper HD transfers of them because the negatives have been lost. So I'm a little bit wary of this. I mean, it's great that they're releasing these films on Blu-ray. That's awesome. As I've said in the past, I don't have a Blu-ray player, so I don't particularly care at the moment. Eventually, I will have one, and I'll probably pick these up. But it's a little bit worrisome that the negatives were lost, so I'm kind of wondering how they managed to make this work out. But I would love to be able to watch the Claude Rains Phantom of the Opera on Blu-ray. That would be fucking awesome, because I love
that. I know. This is going to be so amazing. They're just going to be so beautiful, and it's going to be so awesome. And I love that Creature from the Black Lagoon is presented in 3D as well. And Bo, you have a 3D TV, you bastard.
Yeah, is it going to be like, are they kind of up converting to the new stereoscopic 3D?
No idea.
That I don't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I'll watch it in 3D either way, but that would be great if they had the forethought to say like, hey, let's just use the new 3D technology. Obviously, you can post-convert a film. Yeah. I mean, Avengers was all post-conversion, and it looked fantastic, so...
Yeah, I think actually the Creature of the Black Lagoon is the only one of that group I haven't seen.
What?
Yeah, I've seen all the others.
I just watched it not that long ago. It has the worst score. The score is so bad. It's like... It's like the... what's it? Surprised Gopher? Or what is it? The little gopher that turns his head. You know,
dramatic gopher.
Dramatic gopher.
Oh, yeah.
It's like dun, that. Dun, 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 dun. Dun.
Yeah.
Like every time you see his hand or anything, it's just like, bah! It's really jarring. But kind of like that noise I made, I think. but I love the movie. I mean, it's cheesy, you know, but...
It's definitely Universal being schlocky with their monsters. Mm-hmm. Unlike something like Bride of Frankenstein, which is truly just a great movie.
Oh, I fucking love that movie.
You know what? And, wait, I do want to point out something real quick about Creature, though. If you pay attention to this movie and some of the shots, it is, and I've never heard anyone talk about this, but I just watched this movie a couple months ago, and you know my affinity for Jaws and how well I know that movie. I mean, I could play it in my head if I needed to. When I'm watching Creature from the Black Lagoon, it is clear that there are that there was definitely some sort of influence there. I'm not saying like he took it shot for shot, but there you can see some of the shots, and it's you're thinking to yourself, Jaws. Some of the underwater shots.
And that is the first time that Creature from the Black Lagoon was called Spielbergian.
And I'm sure it'll be the last.
Probably.
But and I mean it's not a big deal. It's just like, you know, it's just one of those things you're like, I've seen that before. But it's a good way. I mean, in a good way. Okay. Well, this could be kind of sad. The Munsters may not return to TV after all. We've been following from the get-go, and we've talked about it a lot here. I was waiting anyway for it to come to the small screen, and that's Mockingbird Lane, which was sort of a reboot of The Munsters. Well, the Brian Fuller created, Brian Singer directed pilot episode failed to connect with NBC's Top Dogs, and while a final decision has yet to be made, it doesn't look like Mockingbird Lane will be taken to series. In the show, Jerry O'Connell plays Herman Munster, Portia de Rossi as Lily, Eddie. Oh, Grandpa. I was like, what? And Mason Eddie Izzard plays Grandpa. I'm sorry, because of the Eddie character is throwing me off. Mason Cook plays Eddie, and Charity Wakefield is Marilyn. Fuller countered Deadline's report by saying, via his Twitter account, that the news is, quote, dead wrong. So, who knows? Maybe I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Fuller is currently at work on Hannibal, another genre series with David Slade directing the pilot. So, you know, that's interesting news, though, to be flat out wrong or dead wrong. Sorry. But have you noticed how it cracks me up? Like, Twitter is where you get your news these days. I was watching my local news when I got home today, and several, at least two stories that I know for a fact, part of the newscast was them talking about what was said on Twitter about it. And I'm like, wow. Journalists just, they don't even have to get up anymore, do they?
I know, right?
They just sit at home on their laptops and collect all the feed.
Yeah. Tough to call that journalism.
Yeah.
Someone's scanning like websites like Overheard in Athens last night or Text from last night. And just, that's where we get all our news.
Pretty much.
Okay. And with that, it would actually make me pretty sad because I wanted to, I was interested to see where they would go with this.
Yeah.
I thought the cast was fun, and I think it could be a neat idea. So I really kind of hope it squeezes through. At least give us a shot to decide whether or not we like it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like NBC doesn't have like a couple of cable channels they could dump it on if they didn't want to put it on their flagship channel.
And it's not, you know, this isn't Fox News. Fox News. This isn't Fox. You know, they don't have to throw it out there for 2 seconds and then decide nobody likes it and yank it back before you get a chance to see it.
Yeah.
Just had a Firefly flashback. That's not cool.
See?
Still hate you, Fox. Still hate you.
Ooh. Elijah Wood lines up horror films through Woodshed. While we wait and see what IFC is going to do with the Maniac remake, which, by the way, I want to see this movie.
Yeah.
Especially since we covered the original, and then like right after that is when we got the news about this one, and I thought that was really cool, and I've been wanting to see it ever since. And
the trailer was pretty good.
Mm-hmm, it was. Anyway, that film star Elijah Wood is going to set out and make a slate of horror films. Wood, Daniel Noah, and Josh C. Waller have formed the production company The Woodshed. The Woodshed is an independent film company dedicated to the creation of probing films that test the definitions of what horror can be. Working with driven filmmakers and using the genre to take on challenging themes, The Woodshed strives to create rich roles for great actors in films with true vision. And coming, this is a quote from Elijah himself. I've been a fan of horror and genre cinema in general since I was a child and have become increasingly passionate about the idea of there being a space in which horror films that take their subject matter and characters seriously could be produced. What was born out of a conversation of our mutual love for the genre and what we felt was lacking in a broad sense, especially from the U.S. market, became The Woodshed. I'm going to stop right here for 1 second and say I like all of that.
Yes.
I like all of that. Wood, Noah, and Waller, who share a love of horror, met earlier this year on the upcoming Atlas independent film, I'm From the Future. Daniel Noah is a writer who has developed numerous network pilots and studio features, as well as scripts for independent films, including Believers, mechanic, currently filming under Waller's direction. I'm From the Future at Atlas Independent, in which Elijah will star, and Max Rose, starring Jerry Lewis in his final film role. Josh C. Waller is a director who recently wrapped the female action thriller Raise, starring Zoe Bell and Rachel Nichols. Currently, he is shooting the police drama Mechanic, written, and well, which we talked about. Oh, Maura Tierney. The Woodshed have also been named co-director of the upcoming festival Nightmare City. This nonprofit Cinematheque, the Cine Family, and The Woodshed will be unveiling the lineup next week, which will include Elijah Wood's Maniac. Nightmare City is a new and diverse horror film festival, a multi-venue celebration of the dark and dreamy influence of the macabre on all the arts, will feature films to music to poster designs. Nightmare City includes 73 total events, 45 repertory screenings, 10 live music concerts, 8 LA film premieres, a blacklight poster art show curated by Sammy Harkham, and even magic and comedy events. Well, that sounds badass.
Yeah.
The Woodshed current projects in development include Curse of the Darkness, Henley, and Harrow. And It Was Cruel.
Yeah, no, I think that sounds cool. Anybody who wants to get in this space and throw a little cash at making a, you know, better than average horror film, hey, Godspeed, do it.
Yeah.
I'm saying. And
I see that they've got a possible something going on with Alex de la Iglesia, who did The Last Circus, which I was a big fan of.
You know, I added that to my queue after you talked about it, and I still haven't watched it, but it's...
I mean, it is fucked up. It is profoundly fucked up, and I would love to see him do another film.
Cool.
So,
I totally failed to mention before commencing into that bit of news that it was, in fact, the final bit of news.
So oh, yes, it was.
That's all the news there is, folks, because there just ain't any more.
Yeah. All right. Well, then we will be right back with our review of Lovely Molly.
Excuse me, what are you doing? Are you looking for porn again?
No.
Well, what is that I see?
It's not porn. It's the badassboobsandbodycounts.com website. I happen to be looking at the reviews in the boobs section of the site.
They have a section of the site dedicated to boobs?
Yes, they do. They cover exploitation films in the boobs category, action films in the badass category, and horror in the body counts category.
What's that review you're reading now?
This is Andy Sidaris' Malibu Express. See at the bottom of the review there, they list how many boobs appear in the film. In this case, it's 22 pairs. This is definitely a film I want to see.
You mean just for boobs?
Yeah, just for boobs.
What's that other option? BBNBC podcast?
That's the great thing about the site. If you're not into reading the reviews, you can listen to them via the web, on your mobile device, through iTunes, and even Stitcher Smart Radio. And they cover the same types of films. Lesser known action, exploitation, and horror cinema. So yeah, to answer your question, I wasn't cruising porn.
That's too bad.
What's too bad?
That you weren't cruising for porn.
Why?
Because I was feeling kind of horny.
Oh, wait. Get back here. Hey, get back here.
It came from the instant queue.
Oh, babe, I can't believe you moved back into this house. We should have sold it when Dad died.
Some neighborhood kids. You're gonna be all right, Mrs. Reynolds.
Who's there?
How you doing?
Maybe we shouldn't have moved into this place.
Mom, you know who.
I'd recommend a psychiatric consultation.
What if she becomes dangerous?
He's alive. We gotta get you out of this house.
Whatever happened, it wasn't me. I'm not in control anymore.
Molly, Molly, Molly.
Lovely Molly. This came out in 2011. The synopsis is, newlywed Molly moves into her deceased father's house in the countryside, where painful memories soon begin to haunt her. This was directed by Eduardo Sanchez, written by Eduardo Sanchez and Jamie Nash, stars Johnny Lewis as Tim, Alexander Holden as Hannah, Lauren Lacus as Lauren, and Gretchen Lodge as Molly.
So where to begin?
So I knew I was in for, I've made this joke numerous times about written, directed, and edited by, or written, directed, and starring movies. That's typically a bad sign. And it was this time. Holy fucking hell. An hour and 40 minutes of my eyes being shit on. Fuck you, Eduardo Sanchez, you son of a bitch. This movie was terrible.
That's what SlasherCast Ted said about
Wreck 3, I know.
Wreck 3, but then he ended up not hating it all that badly. So.
Yes, no, this movie did shit in my eyeballs for 40 minutes, okay?
I sincerely mean it.
Pissed me off. Because, I've explained this before, that I don't want movies to force feed me an explanation. I'm smart enough to figure these things out. Really, I am. I also don't like it when movies are purposely obtuse, like this movie was. I also hate when movies are pretentious and try to be artistic, like this one did. This movie was a fucking train wreck. An hour and 40 minute fucking train wreck. Where nothing really makes any sense. There's found footage elements for no fucking explanation other than he felt like it. It doesn't really add much to the story other than, oh, hey, here's this thing that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense unless you're really paying attention. And even then it's like, what? And then there's this whole stupid shit with her father, which, okay, this is what I figured out from watching this movie. And this is just what I'm assuming is that, so she was molested by her father as a child, and now her father's spirit has come back and is doing it again.
Really? You didn't get that he made her have sex with his horse?
Fuck this movie. Fuck Eduardo Sanchez.
No, I'm kidding.
No, I'm sorry. No, and it's one of those, and you know me. I'm not someone to bitch about, you know, fucking politically correct or anything. I kind of have an issue with, yeah, I kind of had an issue with that whole, like, implied that she had been molested and now he was back to do it. I'm like, what? No, don't fucking do that. That's fucking classless. And especially because the movie fucking sucked. Nothing happened.
What are you referring to that is classless about that? The fact that they're going to,
kind of the whole
what,
thing.
Depict.
I didn't like that.
Molestation? Or
that? Well, that was the thing, is that there wasn't any real explanation. That it was just sort of, I'm not even saying that it was heavily implied, because it wasn't. That's just what I inferred from this fucking train wreck. But it's that nothing in this movie made sense. There was no clear anything, and I know people have said, oh, well, the special features explained everything. No, I'm sorry. We don't talk about special features on this show, especially for InstaQ stuff, because it's just the InstaQ. So I don't care if he has a full explanation of what this movie's about in the special features. I didn't see it. This movie was a fucking train wreck, and yeah. I hated it. I really did. I mean, the girl who played Molly, she was a fine actress. She was good. But this movie was fucking abysmal.
All right, Bo. I'm kind of afraid.
I kind of like this movie. And I, like, okay, 3 stars. That's what I'm giving this movie. Boom, rating right off the bat. But I'll tell you why. I've got a certain amount of respect for Gretchen Lodge, who I think is pretty good in this. And I also like the fact that it does kind of meander. It felt like a kind of reading a novella or something. And I thought the end was kind of suitably creepy. The very last shot, I thought, kind of landed for me. I enjoyed it. And I didn't have a problem with the, this sounds pretty twisted, but I didn't have a problem with the idea that it was her father returned to molest her, because my kind of spin on it the whole way was that it was all part of this ritualistic thing that happened to these girls, and that it's ultimately pushing them towards what the ultimate fate of Molly. And
which was so at the point where I screamed to the screen, oh, fuck you.
And I could totally see it. Like, my defense of this film is that I personally responded to things that are unquestionably not the most carefully handled. And there were enough things I liked about it, kind of the mood of it. I liked it is very slow. There aren't a lot of scare gags, but the ones that are there, I think, work well enough. And I like also the idea of incorporating a little bit of found footage to use it for specific purposes. I don't think it totally works here, but I like that idea. And so that I thought was kind of intriguing. So again, it's a 3-star film. I like it just enough to kind of recommend it as a movie, but it's not earth shattering. It's not the best horror flick you're going to see this year, but I think it's pretty good.
Okay.
And he is flummoxed.
Yeah.
No, I was waiting for Jamie.
You get, oh, I see. Okay. I liked it. And I'll tell you why. Not even the same reasons. And I do, first of all, I would like to go on record, David, as saying I agree with you about the found footage. It just didn't make any sense to me. I mean, and Bo, I also agree with you about liking the concept, but I more agree with you that it didn't work here. But to me, it just didn't make much sense. And it kept pulling me out because I'm like, I really would have enjoyed this as a straightforward movie.
Yeah.
More. But no, I do like it. And they're one of the main reasons, and this is going to sound fucked up as hell, but it's that I can relate to her. Not in the whole, my dead father who molested me is, you know, coming back to do it some more. Not in that sense. But
anymore.
What I can relate to here is the parts where she is home alone for long stretches of time and how that begins to, that can really fuck with you. Mm-hmm. It really can. And there was, I mean, I had some really scary times. And actually, well, I'm alone now. This is one of those times. So like, I'm really susceptible to, I am a crazy insomniac. Too. Like I sleep very bizarre hours and very few of them. And so that'll mess with you too. And so in a lot of ways, I was watching her and her acting in this was, I thought it was incredible. I mean, like I believed her. I felt her and I'm like, I get it, you know, and like some of the stuff that she's going through, I'm just like, I know. And, you know, except for like the heroin stuff, like I've never, anyway, I, there are a lot of ways that I could relate to this character and I appreciated what the actress did with it. And I, you know, no, and I wasn't bothered by that. I mean, I didn't really find anything politically incorrect here.
I just thought it was kind of tasteless.
Well, I don't see, I don't really think that. I don't think that words like tasteless really belong in horror. You know, to me,
the reason it bothered me, I think, was because it was just so like, if it had been like explored more clearly, or if it was something that was actually like a major like story point that's like, oh, we're going to talk about this and, you know, here's this thing. And it wasn't just sort of like a vague thing that I kind of picked up on sort of after a fashion, because I'm sitting there going, what the fuck is this movie actually about?
I don't really see that it was vague or hard to pick up on. I think it was a pretty major part of the story, or at least, I don't know, Bo, did you?
I didn't think there was anything particularly obtuse about that. And I also, I don't know, like after seeing a Serbian film recently, seeing the molesting ghost in this was like, finally a movie I can watch with the kids.
But yeah, there you go.
So
I mean,
it didn't shake me up.
It didn't bother me particularly. I just thought it was kind of like, it was one more thing that I didn't like about this movie. Honestly, I really, really right. Fucking hated this thing.
You just weren't buying this from jump.
No, I really wasn't.
Right.
And I tried to get into it. I sat down, I started watching it. And within the first 10 minutes, I'm just like, ugh. And it was just from there on, it was just this downward slide of, I fucking hate this movie so much. When is this piece of shit gonna end? Oh, fuck you. And your shitty reveal at the end, too. Fuck that. Fuck that and fuck you, too.
Well, so I found there to be some truly chilling moments in this movie. There were things that really got under my skin. Like, emotionally, not, like, gross me out. But, like, just, you know, ugh. And, you know, I appreciated that. There were issues. I don't really like the found footage stuff. I don't get it. I don't think it was necessary. But overall, I liked it. I gave it a 3.
This is a 0. I honestly,
ouch!
Yeah, this is
can
a
we,
0.
Can we institute the proposal of not interested? Just click on not interested.
No, fuck this movie. It's getting a 0.
Okay.
This is the second.
No, I like that. I like that, Bo, because Netflix actually has the not interested option. So,
although,
you know.
Actually, that's not really for recommendations, but...
Oh, well, whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, it's still... This is, what, the third movie?
No, David wants the choice to be, fuck this movie.
Yes.
Fuck this movie. Okay.
Yeah, this is actually the second movie that's gotten a fuck this movie, which was the first one. No, this would be the third movie getting a fuck this movie. Because the first one was Yellow Brick Road, and then the other one was In Search of Lovecraft. I think we gave that one a zero. Or I did. Or
You did. I don't remember what I did.
I think you gave it like a 1.5.
I don't think I would have given it a 1.5. That's a little generous.
I think one of us gave it a 1.5 and the other gave it a zero. But anyway, yeah, this fucking movie sucked. I hated every minute of it. This, I felt like watching this was almost like watching Moth Diaries. Like, this is kind of, like, Moth Diaries was at least pretty to look at, but another film where I was just like, what the fuck am I watching? Why is this not really going anywhere? What the fuck? And then this one was just, oh, fuck you. This is obnoxious. I don't care about any of these people. This story sucks. And then, oh, hey, twist at the end. And I'm like, oh, just fuck you. Get out of my face.
What happened to you when you were watching this movie? Like, I just don't understand the amount of hatred that you're pouring into this.
It was,
like,
it was fucking terrible.
I mean, I feel like you're a little reactionary, but it's been several...
I watched
this. What, did you watch it last night? Or?
Oh, I watched this like Monday.
Okay, yeah, I thought it had been several days. Yeah. Okay, so it's, but you're still like really
fucking
reactionary.
It is. You know, I've said this before, I hate when movies waste my time. And
yeah,
I hate
so, I guess,
feeling
I
like this,
like...
and this movie wasted an hour and 40 minutes of my fucking time. And I just, ugh. And I mean, I know people like it. That's totally cool. I've heard people say they like it. I've heard people say they don't like it. So I'm not alone in hating it. But, yeah, I fucking hated this movie so much. So.
Yeah, no, if you're not on board early on, this movie is going to be a tough row to hoe.
Oh, yeah, it really was. Like I said, I mean, Gretchen Lodge was fine in her part, but I just, the dialogue wasn't very interesting, the writing wasn't very good, and the editing, oh my god, the fucking editing! Jump cuts everywhere! Oh my god, Jesus Christ, I'm like, seriously? I mean, seriously, stuttering jump cuts, every fucking cut was a stuttering jump cut. And I'm like, stop it. Just stop that. Do a regular fucking transitional cut. For the love of God.
Do some, like, Lucas wipes.
Oh, I know. That's one of those things that it irks me. Like, and it's one of those things that you don't know, really pick up on it unless you've done actual editing at any point. You don't pick up on those little things like wipes in the first in A New Hope, where you're like, why is he transitioning with a wipe for every scene? You know, this one, it was like literally jump cut, jump cut, jump cut, jump cut, and it was like, fucking transitions. They're not that hard.
Dissolve, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Anything, just not the
That's the quote of the episode right there. I love it.
So, yes,
do you speak
this? So I hated Love You Molly. Fuck this movie. But next week we're gonna do
say dissolve one more time. One more goddamn time.
we decided on was it Black Sabbath or Black Sunday, whichever one is on Netflix. I think it's Black Sunday.
Black Sabbath.
Okay, Black Sabbath. Yes, we're doing Black Sabbath, Mario Bava, and Boris Karloff.
I'm paranoid I won't enjoy it.
So, we'll be right back with Final Destination.
Hey, kids! Do you like horror movies?
Do you like podcasts?
Do you like people called Gil and Roscoe?
If you do, you're going to love
Gil and Roscoe's Bodacious Horror Podcast! Every week, you'll join your hosts, Gil and Roscoe, who'll discuss a range of topics, including juice drinks,
alcoholic drinks,
lollipops,
Bobby socks,
Robocop,
uncomfortable chairs.
Comfortable chairs.
It sounds absolutely nothing like our podcast.
Well, it should be a representation of our podcast, so we should start off with the pure cheesy intro and then just be like, actually, no, that sounded way too upbeat for us.
Yeah. We could have some dead classy music in the background and people would think we're really high-class gentlemen.
We are high-class gentlemen. That's just not what our podcast sounds like.
Right.
So that is Gil and Roscoe's Bodacious Horror Podcast. Look for us on iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter.
Coming soon.
Coming soon.
soon.
Do you believe in ghosts?
This is the night when fear and horror walk hand in hand.
This is Black Sabbath.
Starring the incomparable Boris Karloff, the personable Mark Damon, and lush and lovely women. Even though one is from the netherworld, a vampire, a Vordalak. Black Sabbath, as ancient a superstition, as modern as the telephone.
A nice look with that towel around you. You always did have a beautiful body. Beautiful. A body to drive someone crazy.
Who are you? Who?
Black Sabbath. The bare truth about the unbelievable, such as the brilliant beauty of a priceless jewel that holds within the body of a buzzing fly, a vengeful woman's murderous spirit. Only on the seventh night of the seventh full moon can the living see the lifeless undead.
I am hungry.
Is he man? Or vampire? An adventure into black magic that goes beyond the boundaries of the supernatural. And a man's devoted love is welcomed by a woman's deadly lust for his blood.
It's been quite a while since your first consultation. What made you decide to take the leap today?
A lot is going on in my life. I don't want to miss anything.
When we're done, you'll have perfect vision. Hey, do you know what? My assistant's given me an incomplete file. I'll be right back.
Hold on, you're leaving? Is that supposed to be happening?
Supposed to die on that bridge. A lucky few survive the disaster, and then one by one, death comes for them all.
Are you saying that we can't stop this?
There's an answer for everything.
Killed or be killed. Nobody's safe.
Oh my God.
Hey, how old is this place?
You got me.
We're fine. That's why they built the fence there.
Thank you.
gonna die, alright? This is gonna be a crash.
Have you lost your mind?
You saw it before it actually happened. We're alive and so are a lot of other people.
I keep having these visions. I see how the next person was gonna die.
What do you mean, the next person?
Survivors in the accident.
What if we weren't meant to survive? What's gonna happen to us?
I think we can stop it.
Look out!
Final Destination. This was released in 2009, and the synopsis is, after a young man's premonition of a deadly race car crash helped save the lives of his peers, Death sets out to collect those who evaded their end. This was directed by David R. Ellis, written by Eric Bress, and stars Bobby Campo as Nick, Chantel Van Santen as Lori, Nick Zano as Hunt, Haley Webb as Janet, Mike Kelty Williamson as George, Krista Allen as Samantha, Andrew Fischella as Panic, and Justin Wellborn as the racist.
Michael T. I'm like, fuck this movie.
Damn.
I hate this fucking movie so much. I really do. I hated it when I watched it in the theater. I was pissed about it. And I thought, well, I'll watch it again tonight and I'll maybe it'll be better. You know, I'll like it. No, I fucking didn't. I was so goddamn mad. Do you guys? All right. Somebody else want to go?
Yeah, that was so harsh.
It was awful.
I actually remembered this movie being worse than it was. So when I watched it recently, I actually enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. It's still, I think, the weakest of the franchise, but the racetrack thing works for the most part. The little chug of, are we getting into spoilers with the death talk? So I don't want to do that, but. I do like the opening event.
Yeah.
I think some of the deaths are kind of fun. I thought the racist character was unnecessary.
Yeah.
Within this film, that it felt so tonally wrong to have something so
forced. I mean, it didn't belong there at all.
Yeah, it's an easy way to make a villain, and this is kind of the same argument that David was making about Lovely Molly. But it was just poorly handled, and it came off as being grating and offensive rather than just villainous.
Yeah, it was pretty ham-fisted.
Yeah, and so that really bothered me. And, you know, there are a handful of good deaths in there, but it's pretty weak overall in the
weak
timeline of the trilogy.
Son of a bitch can't even crawl out of bed. And it's just laying there where it has shit itself because it's got bed.
It's what, got a
75, 80 minutes of
okay.
nothing.
Okay. Just, we'll talk about that more in the spoilers. So I bought this on DVD, sight unseen, whenever it came out on DVD, shortly after. I picked up at a video store on a rental copy. So, and I started to watch it once and got through the opening and then shut it off. And I was just like, fuck this movie. I'll watch it later. Sat down to watch it last night, and I didn't hate it. I kind of liked the credit sequence was kind of nifty, that they kind of did all the callbacks to the previous death. That was cool. The racist character was...
thing was,
yeah,
like,
that's what I mean.
Mortal Kombat just did... So
that was kind of a cool intro sequence thing that they did. That was fine. The racetrack disaster was okay. That was fine, whatever. Not amazing. The racist character was fucking pointless, and thank God, and fuck it, I don't even care. He gets killed in the first 20 minutes of the movie, so fuck him. Thank God for that. And that scene was pretty fucking hysterical. We'll talk about that in the spoilers, but that was fucking hilarious. I didn't hate it. For the most part, I was enjoying myself. It was just a dumb, fun movie. Was it very well written? No, it was not. It was terribly written. These characters were fucking idiots. I hated the CGI premonition sequences.
Oh,
I hated all the shit that was popping off the screen because it was a 3D movie. And that just bugs the shit out of me when I watch 3D movies that are not in 3D. I had the same issue when I watched Friday the 13th Part 3. It bugs me in that one. It bugs me in this. It bugs me in anything I've seen that's 3D that's not in 3D. I'm also just not a fan of 3D in general. I think it's kind of a silly gimmick. But so storyline-wise, it's dumb, but it's basically Final Destination, like every other Final Destination.
Now, bullshit. This one was called in. They didn't even try.
Yes, it was very called in. The writing was poor.
The other ones have at least developed characters that you give a shit about. You know what's going on with them. You feel. I even talked about how in part three, I could relate to her. Like, I knew those people in high school. Those were real
this
people.
This one was very These much people... trading on the gimmick of, hey, it's 3D.
Right.
Yeah.
And they fucked it. They fucked it by doing that. It could have been really good. The opening sequence was really cool. I don't have a problem with that. I thought it was fun.
I think it got, for me, it got better as it went along. I enjoyed most of the deaths. I had fun with it. I wouldn't say this is a very good movie. And this is definitely the weakest of the series so far. But I didn't hate it. I actually found myself enjoying it for the most part.
Well, good. At least you had something to enjoy after you hate the shit out of Lovely Molly.
Yeah.
But this
George, however, could not act. Most of these people could not act. They were terrible. Terrible actors. Terrible acting.
Yeah.
Terrible writing. Okay.
I want to go to the spoilers. Do you recommend it?
I'd recommend it for a rental at most.
Bo?
I'm going to say it's a rental if you're a completist and want to see every film in the
series.
Yeah,
I would say if you're a completist, you can get there's a four pack with the first four together that I've seen at Target for like $10 and Walmart for about the same price. So if you want it that way, you can get it. But, you know, unless you're like a nerd like me who has to buy all these fucking movies because you have to have a complete series. Just rent it.
Yeah. And I would even say this is the most skippable movie in the series.
Oh yeah.
So if you've seen every other Final Destination but not this one and don't feel terribly compelled just to watch them all, then don't worry about it. You've seen the best.
I recommend you go outside, pick up a gardening tool and smack yourself about the head. Because that would be more enjoyable than this.
Wow.
Or even take off your shoe and beat yourself over the head with it. That's Bo's favorite move.
I do like that move quite a bit, yes.
Okay, well then.
When I see a pretty lady, that's what I do. Get the ooga eyes and bang my head with a shoe.
Okay. We'll be right back with spoilers. Warning, the following review contains spoilers. Okay. So... All right, Jamie obviously doesn't like this. It starts with a big
goddamn movie.
Yeah, the race sequence. I wasn't crazy about it. It was an all right opening. It very much was depending on the 3D element, which obviously wasn't there because I was watching it on straight DVD. The death sequences in that were okay, a little heavy on the CGI for my taste. Really, I think the movie for me took a turn when the racist character died because. That sequence was fucking hysterical. Because at first I was like, really? Are you really going to go here? Final Destination? Really?
Yeah.
You're trying to get political in a fucking Final Destination movie? Really? And then he gets locked out of his truck. It starts playing Why Can't We Be Friends? And he gets dragged down the street burning to death. And I laughed and laughed and laughed. Because that was wonderful.
There were some really, you know, there were some interesting deaths in this one. Like in the very beginning with the chick in the tire where she gets basically smeared all over the pavement. That was badass. I mean, there were things about it that fooled me into believing that I might like it this time. And then as I continued to watch it, I realized, no, I just don't. I mean, it's so, to me, it feels like a trailer even. I mean, like, I just don't feel like there's anything fleshy about this movie. It's just bits and pieces. And I don't feel like there was any attempt at a script or characters or even giving a damn.
Very much.
You know, It was way too short. And that's another thing that pissed me off. This fucking movie was in 3D, which was, you know, I was looking forward to at the time. Mm-hmm. We hadn't gotten sick of it yet. But this fucking movie's in 3D, which means you have to pay extra for it.
Yeah.
And so I'm walking in and I'm paying extra for 75 minutes. Are you out of your skull? Whatever.
But no, I could.
Some of those are credits. And those don't count. So, like, are you seriously out of your skull?
Yeah.
I mean, this is. And I was angry. Plus, there are like 27 different endings. And I got bored before like the third one.
Like I said, once the racist guy got killed, it kind of turned the corner for me. And I was like, all right, I'm kind of into this now. And then there would be dialogue bits. And I'm like, I don't care. Just sort of like listening to him talk. I'm like, all right, whatever. You guys suck. And then shitty 3D fucking bad CGI premonition. I'm like, oh, this is going to get on my nerves. And it did. I hated that.
I don't like those dream sequences.
Those were terrible.
All. That was ridiculous. It wasn't necessary. They had already established in three other movies ways to do it, and that was not it. That reminded me of watching like a bad episode of Medium, and I'm just like, every time he wakes up, there's something new, and I'm just
So that sucked. And then like I said, the writing is bad, but I enjoyed it for what it was. It was a bad movie, but it was a fun bad movie for me. I mean, like the car wash scene was pretty funny. Like, I was like, seriously, you're afraid of getting smacked in the face by those rubber spinny things? Just close your eyes, you'll be fine.
No, I actually think that would probably hurt a fucking lot. But this is what I want to know. Why didn't she just put her face up to where the it opened?
She did that a couple
times. And then just breathe out of it. You don't have to stick your head out of it. That was stupid anyway.
I kind of like that. It's like, that was a creative way of doing this. Like, watch, she's going to drown in her car. That's awesome. I like the guy who got his organ sucked out of the pump, which actually
I'm calling bullshit on that, too, because he was underwater for like 17 minutes. He should have been dead long before that.
And they also stole that from Chuck Palahniuk's Haunted, which is not a very good book, but the short stories in it are actually good. And there's a story where someone has their guts pulled out through thing.
I bet that was more entertaining than this. I didn't like him. I didn't care that he died because he didn't mean anything to me.
Exactly. None of these characters, I didn't care.
They didn't even mean anything to each other. Two of them were a current couple, and you didn't give a shit. Like, it didn't even matter. You don't know anything about these characters, really. Like, you just don't care. And I don't think that, I mean, like,
and
I think
the cowboy
randomly
comes back out of nowhere, it's like, oh,
yeah,
he didn't die. And then he gets crushed by the giant pool, which was hilarious. The racist white old man was funny as fuck. Okay, that shit was funny. You know how many of your people I killed in Korea? Sir, I'm Chinese. Same difference.
Yeah.
Like, that was funny. Like, if you're gonna do a racist white person, make him an old man. Then it's funny.
Right. Then it's just like, yeah, look at this moron.
Exactly. Old man.
Bless him. Yeah.
This is the old man versus, you know, the fucking douchebag who drops the N-bomb. Was like, whoa, you seriously dropped that in a Final Destination movie? So that was
You know, I mentioned this earlier, but the main character is such a weak character. He doesn't really do shit in the entire film.
Just has really shitty visions, and then
and didn't like him, didn't care about him, and I think I kind of made the same turn that David did, of accepting the fact that this is just a bad movie.
Yeah.
So I don't have to pick it apart at this point. I can just recognize that it's a bad movie and look for the stuff that is a little more positive.
Yeah.
There was enough of it, though. That's the problem. Fun did not outweigh the crap for me here. And I love this series. Final Destination movies are something I always look forward to. You remember, we were doing Last Blog back then.
Yeah.
We actually argued about who got to go see this movie. And I think you ended up seeing Halloween 2, and I ended up seeing this. And then
you were both at first
you were all mad, and then you heard how pissed I was, and you're like, well, shit.
I kind of wish it had ended in the mall sequence, because that was pretty awesome. Like, I thought that whole mall sequence where the girl gets killed by the shit flying out of the screen, and then the explosions, and then his girlfriend getting eaten by the escalator, which was awesome.
That was satisfying.
That was fucking great. I was like, oh.
There were a lot of guts. There were a lot of guts spilled, which I enjoyed immensely.
Yeah.
You know, that I have to say.
I mean, I gotta say that I'm glad I didn't spend $15 to see this in the theater. For the $5 I think I spent on it for DVD with no special features, I'm okay with that. You know, it's not great. Would it be better in 3D? Yeah, maybe. It would maybe get a little less obnoxious having shit flying at the camera that's not doing anything because it's not in 3D, but this is sort of completely forgettable, and I'm kind of okay with that. It's just sort of like, you know what, this is one of those ones I might throw on in the background at some point just to be like, oh, you know, get some friends together for a shitty movie, like, hey, let's get drunk and watch The Final Destination and laugh at it. You know, this isn't one I wouldn't, this isn't something I'd be like, oh my god, you have to see this. It's just be like, oh yeah, it's a bad shitty, it's a fun shitty movie.
Yeah. If you edited this movie down to about both 15 of you, minutes, it would be okay.
Yeah, this is like not quite on the level of like Street Fighter funny shitty movie.
Street Fighter is fun.
Street Fighter is also a terrible movie. It's trying. It's not fun. It's a shit
thing. Street Fighter, you can play with it. You can joke around with it. This one, you can't do anything with it. You don't even want to do anything with it. There's not even time to do anything with it. By the time you come up with a joke, it's over.
I was entertained by it. You know, it may have been because it was 2 o'clock in the morning when I was watching. It may have just been because I enjoy bad movies that, you know, at least there was enough in it for me to be able to forgive the terrible dialogue and the terrible acting because it was just like, all right, whatever, here we go. And it was just like, we're going to the next death. And they at least put the effort into building up the death sequences with this one. So I appreciated that, especially like the mother who gets killed with a rock in the eye. That was pretty funny because you go through all that stuff of what could happen and then it's a rock in the eye. So I like
that.
Yeah. It had been thrown out by her own children, which was just even funnier.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of things where I was just like, if this was one of those movies that if I was really wanted to be critical of it, I would probably fail this and just rip it apart. But it was just kind of a dumb, fun movie. Like, I didn't think too hard about it. You know, it was...
Well, that's a good thing. There wasn't anything to think about.
Exactly. That was the thing. I was just like,
yeah. I mean, I didn't think hard about it either, but it didn't even engage me, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, I was not in the least bit invested. So it doesn't even really matter. The cool parts just were too few and weren't enough to pull me in.
I understand that. And also, I think that because I went into it knowing that so many people are like, oh my God, fuck this movie. That I was kind of like, all right, you know, I was expecting like an absolute train wreck. And then I was like, oh, it's just a bad movie.
Well, I'm happy that I still feel the way I do about it. Because, I mean, I hate when like my opinion changed that drastically several years later after watching a movie for the first time. And then I watch it again and I'm just like, well, you know, no, this one I'm pretty sure about. So that, at least I know and I can now put it away and I don't have to deal with it anymore.
Okay. It's okay, Jamie. The movie won't hurt you anymore.
Thank you. Thank you. Now I'm going to go rock in a corner for a while. sit naked in the shower, rocking back and forth for a couple of hours. Bo, you've been very quiet.
No. I kind of agree with both of you to an extent. I liked it enough. I enjoyed it on the same level that I can enjoy like one of the later Resident Evil movies, where I just immediately turn off my brain and just let things hit my eyeballs.
Yeah.
And there are a handful of things that are like, oh, okay, well, that's pretty cool. Oh, well, that's pretty cool, too. And on that level, I can appreciate it. Again, like David said, you can almost throw this movie on in the background and just be like, oh, okay, well, here's the scene with, you know, the engine block hitting the woman and it chugs one last time. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, it's not a very good movie, but it's passable as horror entertainment.
thus endeth my crush on Bo.
I don't want to sound like I'm defending it too much because everything you've said about it is correct. I just it didn't bother me as much as it did you. And
well, I think this series really deserves more respect than I feel it was given. It pissed me off because there are some really genuinely fun, original, creative moments throughout this series. Mm-hmm. And I felt like when they got to this point, and at the time they assumed it was going to be the last one, they called it The Final Destination and swore to us that was going to be it. And that's how you leave out. You know, this is the one where you get to introduce 3D and you're going to charge people more to watch it. And that's how you're going to leave out. This is what you're going to do to this series. And people love this. People love this series so much, and I felt like they shit all over it. I felt like they didn't respect it at all, and they angered me. So there's that.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But
now David gets to do it. I get to do it occasionally. Oh, yeah, no, totally. I'm never angry. I mean, come on, give me one.
No, yeah, by all means. I mean, like I said, it's, I don't think it's a very good movie, and I don't want to.
I'm always like, I liked it.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to think that, you know, I'm particularly praising this movie, because it is bad. It's not a very good movie. It was entertaining for what it was. It's like, oh, you know, like Bo said, it, like watching a Resident Evil movie. It's just like, I turn it on and my brain automatically clicks off, and I'm just like, okay, things are happening. That was cool. Something exploded, you know, whatever. I don't have to think that hard about it, because, you know, it's just stupid things happening, and I can just enjoy them for what they are.
Yeah, it's reptile brain enjoyment.
Exactly.
I don't even go that far, but that's you guys. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who agree with you. I also know there are people out there who agree with me. Yeah. So you guys are wrong.
Well, I think that's all we have to say about Final Destination, the Final Destination.
So. The most unironically titled.
Yes.
Entry in the series.
Yes, indeed. So next week we will be wrapping up this franchise with Final Destination 5. And we'll be right back with listener feedback and close out the show.
I say every house in America should have an electric chair. And every man just once in his life should sit in it. Just so that he can feel the power of millions of gallons of electricity flow through his veins.
I got an electric chair. That's all I need.
You get an electric chair, Sheldon, you don't have to worry about the audience. You get an electric chair, you can tell them anything you want. As long as it's real.
You get yourself an electric chair and it'll sit there all night long.
Kind of a funny idea, sitting in an electric chair and doing a show.
Well, think of the therapeutic value of an electric chair and all the money it is. Yes, an electric chair in every home.
The Electric Chair. A show about horror. ElectricChairShow.com.
Wow.
Okay, so we got some listener feedback this week. We got a voicemail from Iris.
Hey.
On Twitter, she is at Stupid Hamster, so we're going to play that right now.
Hey, guys. This is Iris. I guess it is me, not the 12-year-old boy. I know I sound like one sometimes. But anyway, just wanted to say hi and to tell you guys that you guys are awesome. Love listening to you, David, and... and to the uber hot sexy lady Jamie Jenkins. So anyway, keep up the good work, guys, and hey, you have a fan for life here. Ciao.
So thank you, Iris, for that voicemail. It's very much appreciated.
Yes, thank you. She's such a sweetheart.
Yeah, no, very, very sweet voicemail, and thanks again in advance for me bothering you about Japanese stuff.
Yes.
So
deaf. I will say, though, that I don't think you sound like a boy, but like, take heart. When I was a kid, anytime anyone called for my mother and I answered the phone, they'd say, "Hello, little boy. Is your mother all right?" I had such a complex. I did. I thought I sounded like a guy all the time growing up. And sometimes I hear it still, though. You know, do you guys ever think I'm a guy? Do you think I sound like a guy?
No, not at all.
Oh,
not for years.
You probably just got used to it.
Right.
Anyway, that was very sweet, though. Yes. It was so kind of her to call in. So, and she had a bad day today. Aww. You know. So I would like to send her a little hug.
Oh, and we got an email from Mike from Badass's Boobs and Body Counts, which I will read now.
He didn't mention the word brown eye, did he?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
So he says, "Hey, you three. I'm really enjoying your coverage on the Final Destination series. I've yet to see 3 and 4, but we'll put them on my shortlist to get caught up. I think all 5 of these films have something to offer everyone, despite the fact that they sort of do the same thing film after film." Which, yeah, it's true. Although I think 1 through 3 did a better job than 4 did, but beside the point. He says, "David, I hope you enjoyed Lovely Molly." "No, I fucking hated it." He says, "I know you didn't." however, have you seen Sanchez's Altered? I think you might like this one. It's about a small group of people who fight off a small alien invasion. It's actually very entertaining and suspenseful at times. And yes, it has green aliens to boot. I have seen the cover of Altered forever. I think I want to say it came out when I was working at a video store or was out when I started working at a video store. I've never watched it. I think it's on Instant Watch. I've just never got around to watching it for whatever reason. I may or may not check it out. Frankly, I'm not that huge a fan of Blair Witch as it is. And after Lovely Molly, I'm not particularly enthralled by Sanchez's work, so I'll give it a shot, but who knows.
But see, this is the opportunity for greatness, too, because you're going to go in with such low expectations that it could be fantastic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Possibly.
Every time I go out with a different guy.
Good thing right, Patrick doesn't listen to this
keep
show.
Off of cliffs.
It's another Schrodinger's movie for you. It's it's already bad, but probably okay.
Yes. Schrodinger. Probably the nerdiest reference we've had on this show ever.
Really?
Yeah, come on. This is the first time we've brought up Schrodinger. Come on now.
That's true.
How many people are going to catch that reference?
Hopefully. Otherwise, I'll be very disappointed. You go people, look it up.
Yes, exactly.
I'm full service. I go 80s, I go...
You know, go science,
Schrodinger. Yeah, I'm all over the place.
Yes. He says Jamie, we need to talk. Human Centipede 2, a black comedy. Seriously, this is hands down the most despicable film I've seen all year. It serves one purpose: to shock people. No. While it does this well, there's no reason to ever watch this film a second time. I found nothing funny about this film whatsoever. Not even the blackest of levels. I also find the first film far better, despite the dumbest shit women cast in the film. I'd actually like to see Six put aside his shock cinema and do less appalling horror films, as I do think he's talented and a talented individual. Thanks, Mike. I disagree. Human Centipede 1 sucked, and I've yet to watch part 2.
Yeah, it was, my hatred for Human Centipede. Mike, my love. I love you so much. I do. And please don't let this ban me from being on your show again. But I have to disagree with you, sweetie. This is, I don't feel like it was shock for shock's value at all. I mean, I feel like there was a good story there, or an original, interesting, good story. Plus, it was gorgeous. This movie was so pretty, and it was so much better. I mean, leaps and bounds above the first one. So, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I don't know, driving a lot, it makes him crazy. We'll go with that.
not everyone, it's one of those things that everyone's going to have different opinions on this stuff. And,
oh, of course.
You know, well, he likes, yeah, exactly. He likes the first one. We don't. You liked the second one. I haven't seen it yet. You know, I've had similar conversations with people about Cannibal Holocaust. You know, I love that movie. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
I want, if I can find the copy with Sans Animal.
It's the,
I can't.
It's the, shit.
Jimmy likes turtles.
I'm afraid because I know me, you know, and I know that stuff like that stays with me, like animal violence when it's real. If it wasn't real, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
You know,
it,
the
but...
first time I watched it, it bothered me. Subsequent times it's gotten easier. I think it's kind of, I kind of just internalized it kind of the way if you're watching like a National Geographic sort of thing when you see animals die in that.
Either. Like, I used to watch those all the time when I was growing up, and I can't even do that. Like, I want to see African cats so bad, but I know it would make me cry, so I can't watch it.
Well, no, that's all right. It's the Grindhouse releasing 2-disc deluxe edition. Features the version without the animal deaths in it.
See, I felt the same way about the animal deaths as I did about the cannibal stuff, which is, that looks delicious.
So,
yeah, I don't really care about the cannibal stuff. I mean, you know, I don't care what happens to people, but, but, you know, I don't know. One of these days I'll get around to it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm just being a pussy about it.
Well, you know, that's all right. And for those of you who don't own the 2-disc special edition, which is really nice, its special features include a new high definition 16:9 digital transfer, which is the DVD, which, you know, it looks fucking gorgeous. The original uncensored director's cut, a new stereo remix and the original mono mix, a commentary with Deodato and star Robert Kerman, which I have not watched yet. I need to do that. The Making of Cannibal Holocaust, an hour documentary, which is really, really good. A bunch of exclusive interviews, which I've watched already. Those are great. Theatrical trailers, which are also very cool, just seeing the different versions of the trailer that they did. There's a stills and poster gallery, which is cool. And, the original shooting script. I didn't realize that. There's the Necrophagia song, Cannibal Holocaust, which is, if you like Necrophagia, it's a cool video, but I mean, it's not particularly anything special. And there is a special, I don't know why it's not listed on the box. Yeah, it's not listed on the box, but it is, there is a version, this, I think it's the first disc has the option you can watch it with or without the animal deaths. I've never watched it without, honestly, because I don't see the point, really. It's one of those things that I'm kind of like, if I'm going to watch a film, I want to watch it as it was intended to be seen, with all the horrible details, if they're there. And like I said, the first time I saw it, it was probably one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen. And the turtle scene, specifically, was absolutely gut-wrenching.
Yeah, it's shocking. It really is.
It's gotten easier with subsequent viewings. I mean, it's still not a scene that I'm like, oh, this is awesome. It's still kind of like, ugh. But it's not like, oh my god, I'm going to puke like the first time I watched it. Because, you know, it's just like, ugh. But yeah, I really, really like Cannibal Holocaust. I think it's a really good film.
And it makes the point, too, that you should never eat another person. Unless, of course, you want to feel like a god. And I think that's a lesson that every child should learn.
So, yeah, we'll probably throw it on the we'll throw it into the docket at some point to review somewhere down the line.
Jamie can enjoy those jarring scenes of like, hey, here's a turtle, cut to, wow, that turtle thing was fucked up. Let's get to the cannibal camp.
Yeah. So, thank you, Mike. Thank you, Iris. We appreciate the feedback. And again, thank you to SlasherCast for backing us up on how shitty Massmaker was and poking fun at the other network, because, you know, any chance to do that, I'm always all for it. Jamie, you've suddenly gone quiet. I think she muted herself.
I'm here.
Oh. You didn't say anything.
Well, what did you want me to say?
I don't know. I thought you might have something to say.
I do. I was laughing in my head. I think, well, you know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
First of all, I love the SlasherCast boys. So yeah, and Michael has been really cool. We've been tweeting back and forth about movies and such recently. And so I appreciate that, because when I saw that he was watching that, I was like, no, run away, run away.
Yeah.
And so I was happy to see that he felt the same way we did about it. That made me really happy.
That movie was fucking terrible. Fucking terrible. So. Yeah, I think that's...
Oh, I'm going to be on an upcoming episode of Inside Outcast.
Okay.
And we're going to be talking about... This is one now, if you remember Evil Dave, I talked with him and Corey when we did Return of the Living Dead on Corey's show, The Electric Chair.
I remember that episode.
Everyone needs an electric chair. I don't do it as well as Shane.
I was about
Shane
to say,
D
Shane
does
it. That's so well.
I know. I don't do it as well as Shane does, but, you know.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things I'm sure I don't do as well as Shane does. but anyway, so I talked. He was on the show. Mm-hmm. He was on the electric chair with me when we did Return. And so he and his wife have now invited me to be on Inside Outcast with them. And we're going to be talking about, I believe we're going to be talking about survival horror video games, which should be a lot of fun.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, God damn it.
What?
Was that Jamie again?
No.
The Skype bloop?
No. Oh, actually, shit, it is. You know who it is? It's Michael.
Which one?
It's the Flickist.
Oh.
It's so funny. I didn't realize it.
Tell him we're talking about him and then he says knock it the hell off. Anyway, so yeah.
Oh, God damn it. I love you, Bo.
I think it's pretty much it for this episode. It's been fun. Looking forward to next week. It's weird. I'm not as like burned out on the Final Destination movies like I kind of thought I would be. Because by the time we finished Sleepaway Camp, I was just like, oh my god, can we be done with this already? Fuck.
Majority of the movies in this series will keep you on your toes, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about this next one because all accounts have promised me that it is really good.
Yeah.
Like in the top three of the entire series, and definitely better than four. So I'm looking forward to the next one so much. And this was such a fun episode. I love the fact that we had such differing opinions on both movies that we talked about.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was divisive. Can the wounds be healed by next week? Tune in next week.
Tune in, Jake. Oh, shit. We'll answer the questions.
Yes, indeed. So,
over his butthurt of Lovely Molly.
Will Jamie be right? That was uncalled for.
That was low.
Gang up on me. That's what they do.
You are the best.
Bang.
Yes, we
you know it. We love you.
There is a poll over on the Devour the Podcast group where for episode 37, we have three choices of movies to possibly do. It's Excision, Smiley, and Grave Encounters 3. So go over there and vote.
Encounters 2.
Oh, I'm sorry. Grave Encounters 2. Thank you.
Yeah, I was like, there's a 3 already? Jesus.
Yes, yes, there is.
These guys aren't fucking around.
It just came out October 2nd. Those boys are fast.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah, strike while the iron's hot.
Yes. So
3, 4, 5 released in a month of each other.
Yes. So go over there and vote. Obviously, next week is going to be Final Destination 5, and then episode 36 will be our discussion of High Tension, and 37 will be that episode that we're looking for a film to do. So if you're it's on the Horrorphilia page there, the poll is there as well. I think Grave Encounters has like 3 votes on that one, but at the moment Smiley is leading, so get over there and vote. Voting will end more or less probably after when we finish recording episode 36. Probably, or when we record 36, which is in 2 weeks. So you have 2 weeks, get them votes in, let us know which movie you want to do. And if the movie you choose doesn't get picked for that episode, don't worry, we're still going to do it anyway.
Now, can we vote?
Yeah, sure. I don't give a fuck. I put it up there because I wasn't sure which one to do, and I really don't care because I'll figure we're going to do those three anyway at some point.
Oh, well, that's good to know. I'm going to rig the shit out of this.
Okay, so that is it for episode 34. Thank you guys for listening. Any final words, everybody?
No, just thanks again, everyone. Thanks for the feedback, and see you next week.
Yeah. Oh, I like that sexy little. What was that? It was kind of sexy what you pulled out at the end there. Oh,
I was doing the wave at the same time.
Oh. Well, I just want to say, as usual, thank you so much to everyone. I honestly feel like I skipped something. Like, there was something I wanted to mention, someone I wanted to mention, some feedback that I got, and I am drawing a blank. So if it was about you, then hit me up and I'll do it. But I am so sorry. But anyway, thank you so much for you guys being out there. We mm-hmm. love you. Yay.
Yep. So we will see you guys next week.
You betcha.
Oh, I thought I already signed off. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Dissolve, motherfucker. Do you speak it?
If you wish to contact Devour the Podcast, you can reach us by email at CenobiteDave, that's CenobiteDave, @gmail.com, or Maven1974 @gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @DDelamorte, DDELLAMORTE, or Maven1974. To visit the site, go to devourthepodcast.blogspot.com. And now you can leave a message on our fancy new voicemail at 760-661-7280.